The third and final book in the premier novel series for Christian women is out. The latest in the Anthems of Zion series is titled The Harvest Rays. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Katie Schuerman. Learn more about The Harvest Rays at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Harvest Rays, the Issues Etc. book of the month for August, 1-800-325-3040.
Only that which is God is going to remain standing, because God says, this is my time, and I will raise up my voices, and I will raise up my people. And just like Esther should have never been chosen out of the 127 providences, because she in the natural didn't have on all the fancy makeup. She didn't have on all the ornaments. She didn't have on all the attractions of the world. She didn't have the image. She didn't come from the background. She didn't have the people of support. She didn't have anything going for her. She was an orphan. She was forgotten. She was forsaken. She didn't have the economic behind her. She didn't have anything, but she had God.
Yes.
And when she had God, God raised her up.
That's televangelist Paula White speaking earlier this week on the Jim Baker Show. She is also, in addition to being a televangelist, she is also one of the spiritual advisors, unofficial spiritual advisors, of President Donald Trump, and she has recently compared Donald Trump to Queen Esther of the Old Testament. You heard her talking about there. Joining us to react to some of this on this Thursday afternoon, August the 24th, Dr. Andrew Steinman. He's Distinguished Professor of Theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago, and he's author of the Concordia Commentaries on Daniel, Ezra and Nehemiah, Proverbs, and 1 Samuel. Dr. Steinman, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Good to be back, Todd.
So far, what we've heard there from Paula White talking about Queen Esther, there's a kernel of truth here. In fact, Esther is an unlikely savior, small s, in the making for her people in that story, isn't she?
Yeah, she very, very much is. Despite maybe all the other errors, she's got that kernel of truth in there, and that's part of the power of the story of Esther. Is you wouldn't suspect that she would be chosen. And part of the fact that she kind of hides her ethnic identity plays into that too.
So very briefly, the story of Esther, so we can have our bearings on reacting to the comparison that Paula White has made with President Trump.
Yeah, well, the Persian Empire, biggest empire in the day, is ruled by this powerful king, and he decides he needs a new wife. There's a problem with his wife, or at least a perceived problem among him and the men in his court. So she's deposed as queen, and he's going to kind of have the Miss Persia contest for the next queen. And he gathers together all these eligible young women who were brought into his harem, and whichever one ends up pleasing him best is going to be the new queen. They'll all be his wives, but only the one that pleases him best will be the queen. And so Esther is very wise. She consults with the head of the harem as to what she should do to please the king. She does that, and she becomes the new queen. Her relative Mordecai, however, has some different things going on. He had raised her. She was indeed an orphan, and so he had taken her into his house and raised her. And he apparently is a fairly influential man, because we're told he sits in the king's gate. So it's not quite accurate what she said about Esther not having anything, because she obviously was from raised by a man who had a lot of juice at the royal court. But at any rate, he hears a plot to assassinate the king. He reports it, and the king's life is saved. And then it goes on that the king has appointed a prime minister, a man named Haman. And Haman has it in for Jews, Mordecai in particular, probably because he's the most powerful Jew in the king's court. And so Haman wants to get rid of Mordecai. But it's not enough for him to get rid of just Mordecai. He decides he has to get rid of all the Jews in the Persian Empire. And so he goes into the king and says, there's this problem people in your kingdom. I will pay you money if you'll let me get rid of them. He figures he's going to make it up on the backside by confiscating all their property once he's had them all executed. And so the king doesn't ask who this is. He just goes ahead and gives Haman permission to do this. So Haman, being a good pagan, decides to consult the gods through casting lots. And the lot just happens to fall almost a year later, because he's trying to say, what's the best day that the gods are going to, you know, shine most favorably on this project? And the lots happen to fall a year later. And so this decree goes out that on this day, people can kill the Jews, their property will be confiscated, and Haman will get his cut. And in the meantime, he has a pole set up for Mordecai, because he's going to have him executed and then hang up his dead body on this pole. Well, Mordecai gets wind of this, and so Esther, who's now become queen, he appeals to her, and he says, you need to go to the king. You've been hiding that you're a Jew. That was my advice originally, to help you get along in the court, but now you have to tell. And Esther's reluctant, and Mordecai says to her, well, perhaps you were brought to the kingdom for just this moment. This is the closest the book ever gets to mentioning God, by the way. It doesn't say God put you there for just this moment, but of course the reader knows who he's talking about, how Esther got there. And I think it's one of the powers of the book of Esther, that the reader knows he's talking about God, and the author doesn't even have to say the word God. So Esther's reluctant, but he finally gets her to do it, and eventually she reveals to the king that there's this plot. And it's at a banquet where she's invited the king to this banquet she's prepared, and invited Mordecai. And Mordecai thinks he's doing great because he's at a banquet with the king and queen. And then she reveals, my people are under threat. We could be killed. And there's a man in your kingdom that's doing this. And the king says, who is that? And she points right at Mordecai and says, it's him. Well, the king is in a rage now, you know, that Mordecai would threaten the life of the queen and her people. And he leaves the room. And, of course, they're dining in the ancient fashion. They recline at tables on kind of couches. And so Haman comes over to the queen and is begging for mercy. He's in fear of his life. Well, the king comes back in the room, and he misinterprets what Haman is doing and thinks that Haman is trying to molest Queen Esther. So he has him drug out and executed. In the meantime, Mordecai has been found out to be the one who foiled the plot on the king's life, and the king has had him honored. In fact, Haman is the one who had to honor him. That had to really get under Haman's skin. But now Mordecai is elevated to the position of prime minister that Haman had held. And so Mordecai can put out a decree that the day before Haman had chosen, the Jews may defend themselves against anybody who would attack them. And we're told that throughout the Persian Empire, fear of the Jews fell on all these people, and no one attacked them. They did not have to defend themselves. And so Esther has an important part in identifying the threat to the king. God brought her to this position just so that she could do this, the writer is implying. And people understand, without the writer ever having to say it, God is at work in all these things, even though he's not seen, he's not heard, and even in the text, he's not mentioned. So it's a very, I think, very powerful book, because the reader can figure out what God is doing to protect his people who he chose to bring forth the Messiah. So he's protecting his promise to bring forth the Messiah when he does this. And the reader knows that God's behind all this, and yet God's never mentioned. And I think that is the power of the book, is you can talk about God without ever having to mention him.
After the break, we're going to hear Paula White compare and contrast Esther with Queen Vashti and with the situation of President Donald Trump. Dr. Andrew Steinman is here to react, Distinguished Professor of Theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago. the law assumed sermon, the gospel afterthought sermon, the God loves you anyway sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christians should operate fully in the public square, and that includes by engaging with the media.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And one of the things that they can do is encourage reporters to report things accurately and truthfully. They can express their opinions in letters to the editor and op-eds. And one of the things that's important is to just let people in the world know of the differences of opinion that are out there, that Christians don't share a lot of the secular thinking that is promulgated by the media. And so being bold and being able to stand up and simply speak truth in the public square, it's a powerful witness to others, and it's a service you can perform for your community and the country at large.
You can meet and hear Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christians engaging the news media at our Fall Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about televangelist Paula White's comparison of President Trump with Queen Esther in the Old Testament. Dr. Andrew Steinman, author of Concordia Commentaries on Daniel, Ezra and Nehemiah, Proverbs, and 1 Samuel, is our guest. Here's Paula White again. Here she is comparing Esther to the woman that she replaced, Queen Vashti.
And let me tell you something. Vashti is easy to be replaced because Vashti, who is married to the king, Vashti, and this is what people don't recognize. You say, what is God doing? Vashti did not serve purpose. And because she did not serve purpose, when the king, and it seems, oh, this is silly, but he shouldn't have asked this. It doesn't matter. The king asked her to dance. The king asked her, but because she could not be obedient to what was asked of the king, because sometimes we think, well, we want to do it, and we negotiate with God. If the king asks you to do something, then you do it. Yeah. If the king asks you to stand up to take your show and to be in support of President Trump, it doesn't matter. If people troll you, if people lie about you, if people hate on you, if people leave you, it doesn't matter. Because if God be for you, then who can be against you? Because God is looking for someone who will say yes to God's agenda, to the king's agenda.
All right, Dr. Steinman, if you would, how would you respond to that particular comparison and that commentary there?
Well, I'd respond that it's simplistic and that it doesn't take the entire context into account. First of all, the king wants to show off her beauty in front of what amounts to a drunken party. I mean, it's clear the author of Esther says in the first chapter that the wine flowed freely. The king has probably had too much, and he wants to basically show off Esther as Esther Vashti as his trophy wife. This comes close to abusing your wife mentally. I mean, to say, come in and show yourself off for a bunch of drunken men. I mean, seriously, would we say that that is a godly command? I think the author is actually showing Vashti to be here a woman who has a little bit of principles, and she's not going to go and parade herself in front of a bunch of drunken men. And just because the king gives an order does not mean that that order is a godly order. And I'm not sure she has to put up with what borders on, you know, kind of leering sexual abuse because the king orders it. I think she's not read the context well. She's not taken into account what's going on. And I actually think that Vashti is a much more sympathetic person than she gives her credit for. And I think the whole point is here is she does serve a purpose. Her purpose is part of God's purpose here. She is queen, but God needs a different queen because he knows what's coming for his people. And her defying the king is all part of God's plan. And to not see that in the book, and to not see the abuse that the king was kind of asking her to subject herself to, I think is being very insensitive to the entire context of the story.
There's also something there, and I want to get to the next cut quickly, but there's also something there in Paula White's statement where she kind of confused who the king actually was. And she seemed to imply that if God tells you to support Donald Trump, then you should do it. Of course, she's been an ardent supporter of Donald Trump from before his election. But that's kind of confusing who's king in the story and confusing God with the king here, too.
Yes. And the Bible does call on us to respect civil authorities. But, of course, it does place a limit on that. We do not obey civil authorities when they ask us to go against our conscience and the clear word of God. And so we have a good example of this in Martin Luther, who defies the powerful emperor of the Holy Roman Empire and says, I will not recant because I will not go against my conscience and the clear word of Scripture. Donald Trump is to be respected as president. The laws of the land are to be obeyed. Christians are to do those things, but not when we have clear word of Scripture and Scripture informing our conscience as to what is right and wrong. If Donald Trump would suggest we do something that we believe is clearly forbidden in Scripture, and Scripture speaks to us and tells us that we should not do that, then we should disobey him or any other civil authority under those circumstances.
In our final cut, Dr. Steinman, televangelist Paula White says that just as God had promised deliverance and enlargement to the children of Israel, he's making the same promise to President Donald Trump and to the United States today.
And so what it was, it doesn't matter if you understand the instruction of the king. It doesn't matter. It matters if you are obedient, because God, Vashti could be replaced because she wouldn't serve purpose. So God finds this young girl, Esther, whose name literally means myrtle tree. Myrtle trees come from the bottom. It means you've come from bottom places.
You've been overlooked.
It means God will raise you up from the pit. He'll raise you up from the bottom. Whoa. Her name also, she has white blossoms, because out of the bottom place, it means that God will purify you and God will bring his holiness, because you have died so that he can live. And what people don't recognize, because we're more impressed with a Saul anointing than a David anointing, because we're more impressed with what looks right than what is right.
God help us.
Therefore, we choose things that we think should sound right, should act right, according. And they even say about our president, well, he's not presidential. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And I mean that with all due respect, because in other words, he's not a polished politician. In other words, he's authentically, whether people like it or not, has been raised up by God, because God says that he raises up and places all people in places of authority. Yeah. It is God that raises up a king. It is God that sets one down. And so when you fight against the plan of God, you're fighting against the hand of God. And therefore you go, well, how can that be? I don't know. I understand that God, I don't understand. And so there are many different reasons that God puts people in place. Now, I have my personal opinion about that I'm sure we'll get to. You said, what is God doing? God's doing transition. So he's raising up Esthers who understand you've been raised up for such a time as this, which means you have the power for such a time as this. For such a time literally means that you have the ability to strike, to punish, to defeat every demonic foe, because you are serving purpose, the intention of God. And that's why Esther was put in place, because God said, I've got to be quiet.
No, keep going.
God said, when Esther gets in place, Mordecai, who represents the Holy Spirit, comes to him and says, okay, enlargement and deliverance is coming to the Israelites. So that's the prophetic word to you. America, body of Christ, hear this. Enlargement and deliverance is coming. God is going to bring enlargement. God is going to bring deliverance.
All right, Dr. Steinman, can we do this kind of comparison that Paula White has done with Donald Trump, strongly implying there, if not stating, that this is God's plan to bring deliverance to the United States?
I don't think we can, because we don't have a clear word of Scripture. She cherry-picks the text, you know, to find what she believes are certain parallels between Esther and Donald Trump, and leaves the rest out. The text of Scripture does not say to us Donald Trump was raised up for that purpose. We don't know that. We do know he's president. We do know that the Scriptures call us, under most circumstances, to obey those who are in authority. But that does not mean that we are promised, when we obey those in authority, we're going to get a utopia out of it, that we're going to get a material blessing out of it. God never promises us that. The real problem here is when the way she cherry-picks the text. I was just listening to that. I was just almost dumbstruck. I didn't know what I was going to say, because it reminds me of that game we used to play as kids. What does that cloud look like that you see up there? You know, and somebody thinks it looks like Abraham Lincoln, and somebody else thinks it looks like George Washington, and somebody else thinks it looks like, you know, whatever. And you can kind of find comparisons, but you know, the comparisons, when you're cherry picking the text and saying, "Well, I'll do this and I'll ignore the rest of the text," all you're really doing is special pleading. There's no guarantee that we're going to prosper under Donald Trump. There's no guarantee that we're not going to prosper under Donald Trump. God has not revealed that to us in the Scriptures, and that is our only reliable source of His revelation. What He has revealed to us is how we are to deal with those who are placed in authority. And the one thing she said right was, no one has authority in this world without God granting it. So therefore, to obey the authorities under most circumstances is to obey God. But that does not mean that every authority He raises up is going to bring us prosperity in this life. For conscience sake, we must obey those in authority. That does not mean we go almost as far as to idolize them by turning them into someone who has the complete authority of God. And that's what really bothered me about that quote.
Dr. Andrew Steinman is Distinguished Professor of Theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago. He's author of the Concordia Commentaries on Daniel, Ezra and Nehemiah, Proverbs, and 1 Samuel. You can purchase these commentaries under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Call them during regular business hours any weekday, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the commentaries by Dr. Andrew Steinman on Daniel, Ezra and Nehemiah, Proverbs, and 1 Samuel. Dr. Steinman, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about the dangers of embryo adoption with Katie Schuerman. Stay tuned.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.